In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When we pray this morning in today's collect, we will be thanking God for preparing for us such good things as surpass our understanding, and petitioning Him to pour into our hearts such love towards Him that we may obtain His promises, which exceed all that we can desire. That we are praying such things should indicate that we, through our inability to understand all that God has prepared for us, may not always be ready to obtain that which He has promised us. It isn't that we don't want it. It's more that we cannot conceive of it in terms that are other than our own. This seems especially true in our attempts to follow and serve God. What often happens is we hear what we believe to be a call to follow and serve God and set out to fulfill it. To do so, we develop a carefully crafted plan of our own, an itinerary of sorts, that sets out where we need to be and when we need to be there if we are to fulfill what God is calling us to do. We then set out only to discover along the way that our itinerary, based as it often is on incomplete knowledge of what God is calling us to do, cannot be followed. It is at this point that our itinerary falls apart and we are left feeling bewildered, discouraged, and no longer knowing what to do. Fortunately, it is also at this point that God may intervene in ways that we never would have imagined to redirect our itinerary towards what He is really calling us to do. We see such a pattern with the people in the stories that are told in today's lessons. Paul, in his role as apostle to the Gentiles, has just embarked on a second missionary journey to Asia Minor to strengthen churches that he had previously founded there. Yet from the very beginning, there are serious problems with him doing so. Shortly before he is to depart, a sharp disagreement causes some members of his party to leave and seek a different mission. Once underway, he finds himself prevented, for mysterious reasons, from reaching churches in much of the area. He ends up on the eastern coast of the Aegean Sea in the port city of Troas, with little accomplished and seemingly nowhere else to go. At Troas, Paul's itinerary is changed. During the night he has a vision. A man of Macedonia, which is on the other side of the Aegean Sea, pleads with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." He responds immediately by taking his party on a ship across the Aegean. They end up at Philippi, a Roman colony, and one of the leading cities of Macedonia. While not the most important city in Macedonia, it has often regarded itself as such. After staying at Philippi for a few days, Paul and his comrades go outside the city on the Sabbath to what they supposed is a place of prayer. There along the river at what may be a synagogue, Paul begins his renewed mission by preaching to a group of women. Among those listening to Paul is a woman named Lydia. Originally from Thyatira, a city in Asia Minor that is renowned for dyed fabrics, Lydia has established a business in Philippi as a dealer of purple cloth. Since women in her time had begun to take on significant business and civic roles in Macedonia, she is by no means the only woman in Philippi who has her own business. That she lives in a rather large house in Philippi is an indication that her business has prospered. Not content with emperor worship, nor in the worship of any Greek or Roman or other deities that is carrying on in Philippi, Lydia instead follows a spiritual itinerary that has thus far led her to the place of prayer along the river. There she follows the God of Israel, but can do so only as a worshiper of God, meaning that while she can believe and behave as if she is a true follower of the God of Israel, she is still not Jewish. Being a Gentile in a pagan city that is far from Jerusalem, it seems that where she is at is as far as she will ever get in her call to follow the God of Israel. With Paul's arrival in Philippi, Lydia's itinerary is changed. Listening to him, she receives the good news that through Jesus Christ, doors leading to the God of Israel are being opened to everyone, everywhere. She and all the members of her household are then baptized. Such a pattern is even evident in the tale that is told in the gospel lesson. In Jerusalem, by one of the gates, is a pool that is fed by intermittent springs, known as Bethzatha, but better known as Bethesda. The pool is officially used to wash the sheep that come through the gate to be sacrificed at the temple. Because of a popular legend, which is not of Jewish origin, it also attracts invalids who hope to be healed by its waters. This legend attributes the occasional stirring of waters in the pool to an angel of the Lord, with the belief that whoever can first step into the pool when the waters are stirred will be healed. Among the invalids who are waiting at the pool is a man who has been ill for 38 years. His itinerary is quite simple: to get to the pool from where he is lying as soon as the waters in the pool are stirred up. It also seems to be quite futile. Because of his condition and lack of help, he is never able to reach the pool before someone else. He is visited one day by Jesus. Aware of his condition, Jesus asks him one simple question: do you want to be made well? But instead of an answer to the question, what Jesus receives is a complaint. Sir, he says, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. With perhaps a touch of exasperation in his voice, Jesus not only answers the man's question for him, but gives him a new itinerary, one that is much more direct. Stand up, take up your mat, and walk. The man at that moment is made well and takes up his mat and begins to walk. In all of these stories, we see that there is both a danger with us getting lost in our plans to fulfill that to which God has called us, and a promise that when this happens, God will allow him to lead us back. We see this danger and promise at work with Paul in his getting lost in the business of being an apostle to the Gentiles, answering a plea from a man to come over to Macedonia, and upon arriving in Macedonia, finding the plea fulfilled through a woman. We likewise see it at work with Lydia, in her getting lost in her quest for the God of Israel, listening to the good news that Paul is preaching, and going on to become the first Christian in Macedonia. Unfortunately, we also see a warning that it doesn't always happen this way. For the man who has been waiting for the waters to stir at the pool of Bethesda, the promise can no longer be fulfilled. He is, after 38 years of illness, so lost in his plans to be made well that he cannot see what is supposed to be fulfilled by them. Even when he is made well, he seems interested only in identifying Jesus to the authorities because he has violated Jewish tradition by ordering him to take up his mat and walk on the Sabbath. It seems from these stories that if in the end we are to follow and serve God, then it may be best for us to first acknowledge that our plans to do so, however carefully crafted they may be, cannot avoid the danger that we will encounter along the way. While this does not mean that we shouldn't plan, it does mean that we should have an appreciation of how incomplete our knowledge may be in doing so, and how we are often too clever for our own good. Perhaps keeping in mind the words of a poem by Alfred Tennyson titled In Memoriam may help in this regard. Our little systems have their day. They have their day and cease to be. They are but broken lights of thee, and thou, O Lord, art more than they. It also means that we should be ready to acknowledge and accept the promise of redirection when God decides that it is time for it. Amen.